It was a Saturday morning, and it was the final soccer game of the season, and a father was watching his son play, and after the game, he said, "Son, I will give you anything that you would like to have to celebrate the end of this soccer season." Little Jimmy thought for just a minute and how he was kind of chilled from the cool fall air, and he said, "French fries, I want French fries." And the father said, "Great, if that's what my son wants, that's what he's going to get," and off they went to buy some French fries. As they drove along, little Jimmy could just smell those French fries already. He could taste that salt in his mouth. He could feel the warmth inside his mouth from those French fries, and he just couldn't hardly wait. So by the time they got there, he was starving. He and his father walked in, and Dad walked up to the counter and said, "Some French fries for my son, please. And let's double size that order today." "Wow," Jimmy thought, "I'm getting even more than what I asked for." And as they sat down to give thanks for those French fries, the short prayer that Jimmy gave still had way too many words. He said, "God bless this food, amen." And he grabbed his first fistful of French fries. His every expectation was met. The taste was just exactly what he had anticipated. The fries warmed him from the inside. He began to feel the nourishment for his tired and sore muscles after his long game that day. He closed his eyes and just kind of savored the moment. His father watched with great joy as little Jimmy munched on those French fries. It gave the dad great pleasure to watch the happiness and the light on this young fellow's face at the gift that he had given him. And as the father watched, he wanted to share in that joy that the little boy had, and so he reached over and was going to take just a couple of fries for himself. And much to his surprise, Jimmy reached out, grabbed those fries, and said, "No, they're mine. You can't have any." The father sat back in a stunned reaction. He thought, "My child does not realize that it was I who offered to buy them for him in the first place, to give him whatever he asked for. Does he not appreciate that I'm the source of these French fries? It was me who earned the money that allowed us to buy those French fries. He didn't have anything to do with it. And then I even gave him more than what he asked for. And yet he is here talking about his French fries. Doesn't he realize that at 6 foot and 220 pounds, I could take those fries away from him? Well, like, easy. Doesn't he also realize that I could go to the counter and buy him more fries than he could possibly eat in a couple of 2-3 days? He doesn't usually eat all those French fries anyway. All I wanted to do was share in his joy and the blessing that I gave him." As God's children, we are all blessed every day in lots of different ways. Some of us only receive a small order of fries. Some of us get a medium size, and some of us get a supersized order of fries. Some fries are thin and crisp. Some are thick and chewy. Some are curlicue, but we all get fries. Like that father, God, our Father, wants us to share in the blessings that he gives us. The problem is that when God gives us or asks us to give back some of his blessings, we often respond like that little boy. "No, these are mine. I earned them. I get to keep them." Like that father who would take away or could take away all those fries, God can take away all our blessings as well. But he also has the ability to give us more than we can either ask or imagine. Further, God blesses us in lots of ways that we don't even think about or aren't even aware of, certainly not at the time. Greer Epstein was a woman who never took breaks from her office. She always sat there feeling like it was her job to earn the money. She had too many things to do. But that day on 9/11, somebody invited her to take a break, and she did. And as she rode the elevator down from the 67th floor, she felt kind of a bump. But she didn't think much about it because those elevators did kind of strange things all the time anyway. When she stepped outside the building, she looked at all the people whose gazes were frozen upwards and watched as the second airplane crashed into the 67th floor where her office was. Daniel Bellardini also had an experience. His uncle invited him on that day, 9/11, to go to Yosemite. He said, "We'll go and we'll have a good time. We'll enjoy some outdoors." A couple of days before that, Daniel said, "Uncle, I've just got too much work to do. There's a new project. I just can't make it." His uncle never made it to Yosemite because he was on board Flight 93 that was crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. How easily we forget. How easily we forget that God is the source of all our blessings. How easily we forget that there's nothing we have that God needs or wants except our prayers and our love. How easily we forget that there is nothing that we can do for God. So God asks us to give back just a little bit. He does that because he wants us to be like him. In the Bible, God is always giving and doing for his people. He led the people out of the land of Egypt. He led the children of Israel through the wilderness. He gave them the promised land. He sent his only son, Jesus, who died on the cross so that you and I might be saved. And now he promises us eternal life. You see, our problem is that like little Jimmy, we see our giving as a loss, something that we no longer have. And you may ask, how or what do I gain by giving back to God? Well, that's probably a fair question. Let's see what God's word has to say about that. In Malachi chapter 3, God and Malachi are having a conversation. And God responds to part of that conversation by saying this: "Bring the whole tithe into the treasury of the temple, that there may be food in my house. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and I will see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have enough room for it." Test me on this, God says, and see if I don't respond. Some of you might say, "Well, I tried that tithing stuff one time, and you know, my paycheck didn't go up. In fact, some of my benefits were taken away." Well, God doesn't promise that he's going to give you more money. He says that he will bless you, but in his way, not the way you want him to. He knows what you need. It's not necessarily what we want. Because God continues to speak a few verses later in Malachi, he says, "I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not lose their fruit. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land." So, do you trust God to keep his word? Keep in mind that God might be blessing you in many ways other than monetarily. That car that you drive might last another couple, 3 or 4 years longer than you expect it to. Your job might be spared. Your investment might be increased. Remember that time when you lost your keys and you were late? Did you think that maybe you lost your keys and you were late and you missed that intersection when that 18-wheeler blew through that red light? He might indeed be meeting a great need that you have with a blessing just when you need it. Have you ever said, you know, I just don't know how we ever got through those years? In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Last Sunday we heard about God, about Jesus looking into people's hearts. In Samuel, that's verified, says, "For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." What's in your heart? The answer to that question might lie in the answers to these questions. Where's God in your priorities? Are you giving out of first fruits, or are you giving out of what's left over at the end of the month? How are you using your God-given spiritual gifts? What kind of steward are you with the gifts that God does give you? In 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or with compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." And so the next time someone says, "Do you want fries with that? Or shall I supersize that? Or you smell French fries," I want you to remember this. In Christ we have a love that cannot be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished. In Christ we have a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished. In Christ we have hope that can never be disappointed, glory that can never be clouded, happiness that can never be interrupted, light that can never be darkened. In Christ we have a strength that can never be weakened, a beauty that can never be marred, a purity that can never be defiled, a wisdom that can never be baffled. And in Christ, we have resources that can never be exhausted. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, so that we might be a blessing to be a blessing to others. Amen. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all the French fries that we receive come from Him.